I'm Alana Roche.
And I'm Dr. Lauren Costine. And welcome to The Consciousness Salon.
The Consciousness Salon is a conversation where psychologist Dr. Lauren partners with Alana Roche, the boundary boss, and community activists to raise individual and collective consciousness through enlivening conversations about psychological and social justice issues.
We will be discussing topics ranging from gaslighting and triggers to identity issues and internalized phobias, and why looking at the world and ourselves from a psychological lens improves mood, increases our sense of self, meaning, life purpose, and so much more.
Hey, Lauren.
Hi, Alana.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Looks like you're in WeHo.
I'm in WeHo.
Welcome back.
Several days. Thank you.
Your sanctuary.
My sanctuary. I really just get to recharge here. It's so nice. I spend like significant alone time. And just that way I need, and it's wonderful.
I support it as always.
Yes.
I think it's so incredible that you and your wife have been able to have this understanding and what that looks like, and that it works for you too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, you know, a process of figuring it. Oh, Chimpa wants to come and say hi. So can we, Chimpa?
I love that she just knows my voice, even though you have headphones on.
It's so weird. She just knows. She knows she has to come say hi to you. Right, sweetie?
She's like, oh, they hit the record button. Let me get in there.
So silly, yes you are.
Oh, now you're being shy.
I know, isn't that funny? You don't want to look at the camera? Okay.
Anyhow.
So today, well, this has like been part of our sort of self-discovery series, for lack of a better word, right? Kind of themes of like all the things we've been discovering during the pandemic, the way that we have both changed our lives, how that's influenced how we work with people, you and your coaching business, me and my psychology business, and just the inner growth too, right? That we've both been going through, like, and that I think, you know, sort of in that way of making meaning out of what on many levels is this pandemic about, because it's many things for many people, but one of the opportunities has been this forced go within, right? As everything shut down. And so we've
less
been really,
distractions.
As distractions were removed, including, like we talked about in the last episode, this insane busyness that everyone was in, and the other episode too. And then suddenly, what are you going to do with that being removed? And you know, the mental health urgency that we've seen have shown that for some people, and I've personally had this many times, but you're kind of thrown into some sort of internal crisis and it forces you to do some work, whether you want to or not.
Yeah. And it's a blessing.
It's a total blessing. It may be extremely painful at the time. And then also for many of us that have done work for years and years and years, not necessarily getting thrown into something so extreme or intense, but really embracing the opportunity to reevaluate, recalibrate. Right?
That's the word. It's the opportunity, right? Those who have taken this experience and looked at it from a place of opportunity, I think are really thriving. And what I've heard through a variety of folks is that they finally have a moment to reflect and realize that they actually don't like what they do for a living.
Right.
They're like, you know what? I'm glad that this happened. And it turned out I was, you know, some folks were let go and they're like, you know what? That needed to happen.
Yeah. I wasn't going to leave otherwise.
Right.
Maybe it would have taken a lot longer.
I've been in a situation like that. I've stayed in a very toxic work environment for 6 months that was the longest 6 months
of your life.
Like, I look back and I'm like, that was only 6 months. My face broke out.
Right.
I had so much anxiety going to work. And because my boss was abusive, emotionally abusive. Mm-hmm. And
I
just,
too.
Right. And like, what do you do in that space? And, you know, the weird part is that no one around me was telling me, like, they heard me and they heard that it was toxic, but not one person was like, you should leave. Mm. Like, you should just quit. Because there was something about me quitting that, I don't know, it was really hard to find the right support at that time for people to encourage. Because I think people are like, do you really want to be unemployed, or what
right.
other options do you have?
Right. I mean, I think that's part of it. It gets down to everyone's fear of survival. Like, if you have that sort of, well, we're wired to have that, right? Like, I need my basic survival needs met. And then quitting means you want, might not. What does that mean? Right.
Versus someone actually going, trust Alana that you will, a new door will open.
Right.
I mean, that's what I would tell people today. I would not coach them or give them support from a place of fear. So I ended up staying in that role until they let me go.
Right. You were like forced out of it.
I was forced out of it. And part of it was like, did I keep my pride in that? But, oh, sure, I got like a 2-week severance. Was that worth it?
Interesting.
Anyway, yeah. I know we did a little sidebar, but it was a personal story I wanted to share in terms of being in a situation in a workspace where it was not in alignment with me. If it wasn't even in alignment with me, it was abusive.
Right.
Beyond.
Right.
The furthest thing from alignment. So, and I needed essentially divine intervention because I was so committed to like showing that I could do, proving to myself or someone that I could stick it out.
Yeah. Remember we talked in the last episode about the addiction to like work or just productivity. And then I knew at one point, oh my God, I'm a workaholic. Do I need to go to Workaholics Anonymous? Like, what do I need to? And it just took me, you know, a job dissolving to sort of just the hamster wheel to stop and to reevaluate as well. Because also I like when I make a commitment, you know, I like to kind of see it through. Like there's a value system that gets activated. Fear of not having, you know, my survival needs met. The workaholism has an addictive quality to it. It's definitely like the dopamine and the sort of like speediness. It's really hard to step out of it. I think that's one thing we really mentioned last time too, is stepping out of it. Now, when I even see that I might step into it, I have a healthy resistance. It's like, no, that doesn't work anymore. That frequency of like living life just does not work at all. And it feels so much better. Now there's like, okay, so how do we take that forward as the world is going to open up, right? It's going to slowly do it, but it is.
Yes, we're heading in that direction.
Yeah.
And how do we anchor in these practices that we've been using throughout 2020?
Yeah, exactly.
To bring into this transition, right? This slow transition.
Exactly.
Are we going to honor those commitments to self? Or are we just going to allow ourselves to get pulled right back into the vortex?
Hopefully, for me, you know, it's kind of like any sort of addiction I've recovered from, because there's been a couple.
You're not alone.
Yeah. Right. I can't go back because that feeling when I'm in that addiction is no longer tolerable. And I and I start to rest in the feeling outside of the addiction, and it's so much more in flow. It feels better. I'm healthier. I'm calmer. And so, as I was saying, there's like a resistance to it. There's like a, and there's also a witnessing to it too. Like, okay, I could see if I plan my day like this, I'm falling into that. How can I rearrange how I see this day maybe going? You know, things like that. You know, those internal boundaries we were talking about that you've been establishing, and is so important for our work too.
So incredibly important. Yeah. I mean, and for sanity. Remember that thing, sanity? I mean, yeah, that's why I'm in no hurry. I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for all the lessons that came out of 2020. I'm grateful for the progress I've made internally in regards to like my attachments to production, what that looks like, and different systems, etc. And knowing that just like this podcast, like we show up because we want to show up. We show up from the heart. And I want to be able to continue to show up from the heart in all that I do.
Yeah.
And not
it's so well said.
Yeah, and not from any other place. Mm-hmm. And just continuing to keep that at the front of my mind. Just holding mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Thanks.
So do we want to do a little exercise today? I don't know. It sounds so non sequitur, but like I guess we could kind of we could kind of preempt it. But I think part of what we wanted to do today was just do some like inner child exercise, sort of like in that way you're we all are, and what I do professionally is help people really develop a relationship with their inner world. And these sort of mindfulness exercises or going internally into your world exercises are healing on multiple levels. And scientifically, they're gathering a lot more data on why that's so. The focus itself is, it's nurturing, and it helps our neuronal pathways link and integrate in ways that may have been interrupted when we were growing up and may have had some big traumas, little traumas, or adverse child experiences that can wow. affect the integration of brain pathways, meaning like when we can link pieces of our brain together that help us with memory regulation and all of these things that we need. So what I found in my work is, you know, so many of us feel not enough, not lovable, don't really have a connection to the inner child that is still inside of us. And that reconnecting to that part can be very informative and healing and helpful. So I was going to do a short exercise with you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
So can our listeners also join me in this exercise? Do they need to see? Can they just listen?
They can listen, and then they could probably, I wouldn't, yeah, they could try to follow, but you must be sitting down. You can't do this if you're driving. Please don't try this while you're driving.
Yeah, just preface it in case they are interested in joining.
Right. You sit in a quiet place. No distractions. Take the time away and be really comfortable. And be like in a place so that whatever you're doing, you just feel like you can relax into your body.
So perfect. I went to the chiropractor today, so I'm primed.
That's great. That's awesome. I love it. Okay, so what we're going to do is, this is sort of a very modified version of attachment-based EMDR. And I want to give a shout out to where I learned this, which is the Laurel Parnell Institute. And she had created a modified version of EMDR that's really rooted in sort of your attachment style and rooted in relationship. And then I took a modified version of that, because we're not going to be doing any trauma work today, but it's a modified version of how soothing this can be to the system. And then using that to help you go into your own little, your inner world and meet your inner child. So what we first
good.
Yeah,
my inner child has not, I have not paid a visit in some time.
Okay,
just good. To be totally honest with you and our audience, that it's always been a struggle in my adult life. And so I'm very much looking forward to this. I'm very much open to it. The other day I was on a Zoom call and it was a tapping session, and they brought up, they said to imagine a dolphin. And I immediately felt my little girl get so excited. Because it was something that I forgot, that I really loved when I was younger. And at some point I forgot. There's a lot of forgetting.
Be interesting to see what that's about, you know? But I think a lot of us do. And I think that's why, especially when I'm doing this kind of healing work, I bring this in, because so often we've sort of put her or him or they to the side. And been like, I got a lot to do as an adult. I got, you know, like, I'll, you know, just hang out over there. It's not even intentional, but it's what you do.
Yeah. And I never circle back.
Yeah, I know. You know, it must be intentional. It's something we have to remind ourselves to do. And it's something that we actually, you know, it's really helpful to do it also with a professional. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So first of all, the tapping, this is going to be a little bit of different tapping than I think you're doing the tapping with, I don't know, are you doing it with the group business tapping?
Yeah.
It's like this and that. Okay. This is going to be a little different. We're just going to be doing what's called BLS, bilateral stimulation.
Okay.
So just take your palms and you can choose where you want. It can be on the top of your thighs.
Okay.
Or you can do a butterfly movement like this. And you just cross your arms over your chest and hit your, or you can put like your fingers under here and just hit the outside of your arms.
Now, should I put myself on mute for this?
No, because I'm going to ask you some questions.
Sorry. I just wasn't sure about sound. Okay.
No worries. So now feel whichever one of those tapping styles feels good for you.
This one feels good. This one feels more relaxed.
Okay, great. Now just find kind of the speed and intensity that you like. Like, how strong do you want to do it and how fast?
This is the speed.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so we're all settled now. Now we can open your eyes for a moment and stop the tapping. And I'm just going to ask you some resourcing questions first, which is, I'd love for you to think of a peaceful place and describe it really quickly.
Well, my happy place is the Korean spa.
Perfect. Now I want you to think of a nurturing figure. Now this nurturing figure is either, it's a quality they have. It can be real or imagined. So some people pick fictional characters. Some people pick a real person in their life. I always advise that it can't be someone that has anything loaded, anything like, it really wants to be neutral or very loving and caring feeling.
My grandmother.
Perfect. Now a protective figure, same idea. Like some people pick action, like a lot of my female clients pick Wonder Woman or, you know, like just like a mama bear, like someone badass, someone that's going to come in and, you know, protect you. Or someone, I mean, a person that you know.
Yeah, I mean, my mom.
Perfect. And now a wise figure. We have a plethora of choices of that in our world.
Michelle Obama.
Awesome. She's picked a lot, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Now start the tapping. I want you to imagine your peaceful place and then nod your head or just say yes when you feel like it's really in there in your mind. Okay, now bring in your nurturing figure. Awesome. Now bring in your protective figure. And now bring in your wise figure. I want you to imagine you are with all your figures. They are now your team and they're with you in your peaceful place. And you're all there together and they are there for you as we go into this exercise. And we may call on them if they're needed. How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm just really enjoying this moment.
So glad. All right. So glad you're enjoying that. Just relax in there. And then what I'd like you to do is to invite your inner child, your little girl, however you look at her, and bring her in with you into this space. And then just see what she starts to do. And when you get a moment, let us know when she's there and arrived and
well, we're all sitting in a circle in our robes on the jade floor. And so she comes over and sits next to me in the circle in her robe as well.
All right. That's wonderful. That's so beautiful. All right. Well, so I'd love for you to turn to her and ask her if there's anything she's needing from you. Did she say something?
She just said she wants to play.
Oh, okay. So are you up for playing with her in the Jade Room?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what she means by playing in the Jade Room. Jade Room is such like a quiet, relaxing, where folks are like lying down and reading or sleeping. So now I'm not okay. Sure what she means by play.
Okay. Well, I wanted to kind of stop for a second anyway and do a little bit of a process comment. I see some tears rolling down your face, and I would really love to check in with you about that.
Well, you're always going to see tears run down my face when I talk about my grandmother. It's just an instant. It's just what it is. It's like, it doesn't take much. Anytime I think of her or you know, her name comes up or I just think of her, you know, memories, whatever, So I knew by calling on her, I would end up crying. It's fine. I don't care. But yes, she's very much a, I definitely have an emotional response when she's involved in my thought process. Yeah. Yeah, I think also just like really overwhelmed with how good it felt to be like sitting in circle with these women, specifically with my mom, my grandmother, and Michelle Obama, and just like thinking about how that felt and really experiencing that. Yeah, and then it really took a long time for me to like see my little girl.
That's not unusual.
Yeah, I was like, what does she look like? Mm-hmm. I have no idea. And what age are we talking about?
Well, that's usually something that you come up with.
Yeah. So it just, I think it ended up being like maybe 10 years old, something like that.
Perfect.
It's hard to tell.
Well, I'd like to invite you to go back.
Okay.
Go back to the room with this wonderful circle. And see your 10-year-old little girl there again. I know she said she wanted to play, so you might want to check in again and see if she still wants to play and ask her what that means.
I'm asking her if she wants to play now or here. I don't know. It's, I can see that she wants to play now, but also realizes that there's not much to do where we are.
it's generally a quiet place where people are very like calm and reserved, right?
Yeah, it's a place for, you know, women to decompress and be still. But she asks me then, let's just go in the jacuzzi then. Because that seems fun with the bubbles.
That's great.
Yeah. So we are sitting now and soaking in the jacuzzi. In that particular one.
Wonderful. Well, what I'd love for you to do with her now, since we're just doing kind of a short snippet of this, is ask her, would she like to meet you again? Is this something that she is needing from you? And not that she necessarily knows what that means time-wise, but, you know, would she like for you to check in again and maybe do a jacuzzi or play or just hang out? Whatever it is.
Yeah, she says yes.
Okay. How's that feel for you, Alana?
It feels good.
All right. So you could just let her know that whatever you'd like to tell her, like, you know, it was great to meet with her and you'll be back and whatever words come up for you, but sort of like a little bit of a closing and sort of a, I always suggest to, you know, say like, I'll be back or, you know, look forward to connecting again, that kind of thing. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was really the tapping was really comforting. Because I think it's also because it's a hug. It's also it feels also like a hug. So,
and you know, you're also like connecting to your heart area too, right? By being there.
Yeah.
So I think that's really like, there's a lot going on. That's really, like you said, comforting. It sounds like for you.
Yeah. Comforting. Yeah. The tapping on my thighs at the time felt like I was holding too much tension.
Got it. Yeah, I love what's so wonderful about this too is it gives you the space to kind of check in with what you're needing, what's right for your system, what feels good for you intuitively and then physically.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like too, you were really able to go there. Like you were really able to see the room, you know, be with everyone that you picked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can even pick. I mean, it was so easy. I mean, I've been going to this spa since 07.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's definitely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I, you know, I want to install jade floors in my future home because of it.
That's incredible. That's neat.
Like heated jade floors, even though we live in California.
Actually, but, you know, it gets quite cold here. People don't realize that. I mean, for us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it was really nice to, that space is so calming and so comforting. It's so warm and my whole body's just relaxed in that space. And it's just such a great place of healing in general, physical healing, energetic healing for me. It's a place that I definitely retreat to because of my allergies. I utilize their
that makes a lot of sense. Right.
I use their, what is it? One of my favorite rooms is the steam room for my allergies. And then my second favorite, it's for my allergies, and the steam room is great for my eczema, for my dry skin. So it is literally physically healing my body when I'm there, and then my nervous system. So it's definitely to identify it as a place of healing and then and rest and regeneration. And it was just nice to be in that space with these wonderful women in my life. Or that I know of, at least.
Yeah, that's great.
That I get to at least know of in my lifetime.
Right. Exactly. No, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was nice to see her. You know, I do wonder, you know, my relationships with one of my favorite ages, I tell people this all the time with girls, is 6 years old. I think it's a great age. They're super fun, really playful, and yet they already have this capacity to like see the world through like this adult lens. Like they already are like, we know all the things, you know.
Yeah, I think we talked about that actually. It's so funny
it cracks me up. It brings so much joy for me to see them just like fully in their 6 years of life going, I know what life is, you know, let me tell you. And I'm like, yeah, tell me. I want to know.
Tell me about it.
Tell me.
What is life from your lens, right? It's really interesting, actually, the way they see things.
It's everything's so clear.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. And I love spending time with them, but you know, I'm definitely not one who's ever wanted kids on my own. I love being an aunt. I have wonderful women in my life who have children and I love being their aunt. And I just love that role. I love the role of auntie.
Yeah, it's a great role. It's such a great role.
It's perfect for me.
Yeah, I love. I know, and, I get it. I love my nephews.
And I know that I know how healing it is to be in their lives in those capacities for me. and for my little girl as well.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Like, yeah, for sure. About being able to play in that way with them. And yeah, she gets that attention. So in a way, this exercise is, and, you know, we do have to wind down, but this exercise is also just to have that kind of an intimate moment with her.
Yes.
Right. So yes, she's asking to play, but she's also just asking, and it doesn't even have to be that long, if you've noticed, like a brief intimate connection of like, I'm here. And part of it is from your adult space, your adult lens, you're saying, I see you, and I'm going to give you some attention right now that maybe you haven't had for a really long time. And it's what I found, especially in working, and I do in the relationship world, and healing those who have had difficulty having healthy relationships, especially for women who love women, like really, really developing a relationship and an intimate one with our whole self stops us from bleeding onto our partners in a way that puts stress on the relationship. And so this is a, you know, one of the many tools I've incorporated into that to help us continue to really have a healthy relationship with ourselves. So then we can have really healthy relationships with others, especially someone that we want to be, you know, want to be a partner with.
Right. Exactly.
But also as friends, you know, all of our relationships as a daughter or as a sibling or as an auntie or a niece, whatever it is, right? So it's all of it.
I do. I'm curious about to hear about the, you mentioned that this is kind of like in relationship to attachment. And I don't know.
Exactly. So
have a minute to kind of.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought around to that. So first of all, part of this is, you know, the resourcing that we just did with those folks is to bring some, you know, some healthy and healing or safe people into the circle with you or into the experience with you. So there's an attachment component right there.
Mm.
And the other piece is, you know, healing that maybe fractured or, you know, not broken, whatever it is, relationship with aspects of yourself.
Okay.
So you're sort of doing some reparative healing through an important attachment with this, which is with aspects of yourself.
Correct. So cool. Thank you, Lauren.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I have cry face.
No, you can't tell. It's really
oh, that's good.
But I have found with BLS it brings up the tears too, because there's something about it that the way it connects our heart and our mind and our emotions and our limbic system. It's like it sort of brings it all together, and then we can kind of open up, we can kind of have an opening and usually cathartic experience, because crying is so helpful of moving energy out. Mm. And you know what, I heard it recently with one of my spiritual teachers, the heart just releasing.
Mm.
Just releasing some pent-up energy. Like it's that simple.
Yeah.
Can feel really good too.
Well, I just love being able to experience that moment. You know, everything from being in circle and then being able to support her in that way. So it's just really neat to be able to live that.
And I love how your group ended up in circle like that. That is just so beautiful.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it's just a reflection
of you. Yeah. Of you. Yeah, for sure. And I love it.
It's really just cool. I think holding circle is just essential.
It's essential. I wish Zoom could figure out a way to put us in a circle.
Trust me, I've thought about it a million times. So much.
All right, you. Well, this was wonderful.
Welcome to the Consciousness Salon.
Welcome to the Consciousness Salon, everyone.
We're trying something new.
Yeah.
It's a new year.
Yeah.
Approaching this year with new tools.
Yes. And new consciousness. More consciousness, more awareness, more intention in a kind way, compassionate and loving way, right?
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll be back soon.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Ivana.
Bye.
The Consciousness Salon is owned, operated, and produced by Alana Roche and Dr. Lauren. Music is produced by DJ Roche and edited by Tyler Hood.
We would love to hear from you, and there are a number of ways to contact us. My website is www.drlaurencostine.com. That is DrLaurenCostine.com. And I also have a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page.
You can reach me at www.theboundaryboss.com. That is the BoundaryBoss.com. And The Boundary Boss is on both Instagram and Twitter.
This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Lauren Costine and Alana Roche and their guests on the show. The content here should not be taken as medical advice. It is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical or mental health questions. Thank you.